The precious Listen, building.
You are more than the air.
Listen, I close to my heart.
See her face and know that she sees.
Your reflection is more than you see. You are more than a phenom, lasting essence longer than eons in the plateau that we on.
Thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Property Podcast. I am your host, Complex the Poet, father, and entrepreneur. I want to thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. As usual, I want to start with a mental health check just to make sure everybody is doing good and okay. Had a very hard week this week mentally. Had some triggers. Well, a trigger. It really created a very difficult week for me to get through. Even though it's a positive thing, it just is. It's just very hard to deal with. I'm going to get my god kids this weekend, and they're young baby girls, and I'm still kind of dealing with the loss of my daughter, Kennedy. And so just being in preparation of everything, just knowing, you know, I mean, I've been knowing for a while, but knowing now, you know, the time is now that I have to go get them, and just, you know, having them, I believe I'm gonna have them for like a couple weeks to a month. And they're babies. So it really, really sent me on a emotional spiral, because one of them is like where Kennedy would be development wise at this point. So it's like, it's just difficult. But I had to really coach myself and tell myself, you know, this is what godparents are for. Even though I'm going through what I'm going through, I can't deny my responsibilities as a godparent. So it's just been a difficult week, you know, a bunch of crying, a bunch of meditating, breathing exercises, just trying to get through it. But I'm here still to record this episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys are okay. I hope you guys have someone that you can talk to, vent to. I hope you guys are doing well in your meditation, in your prayer time, whatever it is that helps you calm down and get through and reduce your anxiety. I hope you guys are all doing well with that. Again, if not, even though I'm going through it, we're in this together. Male, female, you know, we're it doesn't matter. We're in this together. This road of anxiety and depression is difficult alone. A lot of people feel ashamed about it, but we have to get the courage to trust someone, to let them in, so that we can have a way to vent, but also, you know, vent to someone who's going to be helpful to you, not someone who's going to allow you to continue to spiral down, not someone who is combative in your venting, but someone who has a good listening ear and can just help you maintain, help you be calm and stuff like that. How do I want to say this? And looking for someone and understanding, or wanting someone to understand you and your process of depression, you have to make sure you're not treating them like a punching bag. Because you can lose your group, or you can lose your person when you're treating them like a punching bag. Even though people going through, you know, depression and anxiety, you can't really control it. So just try to fight to not treat your person or your people, your group, as punching bags. Trust someone. Don't be afraid to trust someone with what's going on with your life. So with that being said, like I said, I made it through. I'm here. I'm breathing. You know, life goes on. We get stronger. We keep fighting regardless of how difficult it may seem or be. We just got to keep going. So I encourage everybody, if you're not in therapy and need therapy, don't be ashamed. Get therapy. Meditate, journal, exercise, whatever it takes to make sure that you just live another day to be able to keep fighting through it. I know it's difficult, but We all got this. So let's just keep on going. With that being said, it's also, this normally is a very, very joyful time of year for me, back to school. But as you know, we're still on quarantine, kids still at the house, so it's difficult. My high schooler started officially. He's a week in high school. Time has flown by so fast. I don't know how we got here. But I'm grateful that, you know, my kids are healthy. I'm grateful that they're growing. I'm grateful that they're intelligent and just, you know, they're being who they're supposed to be. But it's difficult. I really thought that this quarantine and government shutdown and yada yada, I really thought that it would be over by now. Or not over, but I thought the COVID-19 would be under wraps a little bit better to allow it to be safe for people to really move around. But it's not, and it is what it is. So I'm a bit down. The parents out there with school-age kids, you understand. But again, we're going to get through it. We're going to fight through it. Make sure everything's okay. Make sure everything's good. And that's life. I was talking to my oldest, because he had brought up that he was nervous before, you know, this week had started. And he's just like, I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do, because eventually the way his school is set up, it's like a business model. So he'll go to school 2 physical days eventually. And then 3 days he'll work from home, you know, like in college or whatever. So he was saying he felt weird going. He didn't know what to do. Like, you know, he didn't know how to act different or if people were going to be acting different and stuff like that. And it really came to my mind at that moment, like, dang, I really have a high schooler. And I've taught him everything that I could teach him, that I could think of. And I was at a crossroads of giving advice or just stepping back. And so what I told him was, he's lucky that he's in a position of where he is. His high school is brand new. He has no legacy to follow. That he is the first person to go to school. The school is actually a brand new school here. So I was telling him, you know, it was difficult for me back home in high school because I didn't earn my name per se until like 11th grade. I was either always Little Ken, which is my eldest brother, or I was always Little Duck, which my brother that's right above me. I always talk about him on his pod. So I didn't have the opportunity to have my own identity because my eldest brother was in a drum corps, amazing drummer. Very, very good drummer. And then my brother Duck is a legend. Like, football, he's an artist, he's a mentor, inspirational speaker, a speaker in general. He's a renaissance. And so when I came to in ninth grade, Duck was a junior and Ken was a senior. So I didn't have the ninth grade woes of being picked on or, you know, not being part of the cool kids or yada yada because my brothers were there. And so I told Junior, like, even though that sounds cool, like, that was the most nerve-wracking thing, to not have your own identity and have to kind of live up to what the expectation was for your brothers, you know. And for me, the reason why I was telling him, it's difficult for me because I love playing the trumpet. I was good at football, good at track, but I love playing the trumpet. But we grew up and went to school in the hood, right? My brother is a legend. You know, my eldest brother, Ken plays the drum, Doug plays football. What I look like coming in, you know, being in the marching band. where I'm from, the drum corps was cool. Not the marching band drum line, but actual, like, it was lit. So I just stopped playing the trumpet. I just gave it up to play, you know, to follow in their footsteps and, you know, do whatever they did, because that's just how it was back then. You know, I've been out of high school for 20 years. So, you know, 24 years ago is when I first started. And I tell him, or I told him, his legacy is his own. He gets to go to school and be whoever he is. He is a art loving, fashion design, you know, crazy dressing, like, it's him. And he gets to live that life without anybody saying, oh, that's Peanut's son, that's Duck's nephew, you know, that's Coach Howard's grandson, or whatever. Like, he gets to live free. He gets to do what he wants to do, how he wanna do it, and create his own legacy. And I was just telling him, like, it's so freeing being able to do that. And in that conversation with him, I had to learn that sometimes you have to put yourself to be the example, and sometimes you have to just be able to give advice and let it flow. And let them do whatever they're going to do, learn however they're going to learn. So I just told them, you know, I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to make you shift who you are to fit who I was in high school or who I am today. You know, you look at me, excuse me, in high school, it was all about football, all about girls, all about track. You know, I was I started writing poetry in the 10th grade, stuff like that. But I hung with people, like, I don't want to make it sound like an exaggeration, but I hung with street people. And that's just what it was. I moved away from that so that my kids don't have to deal with that. And so they could become their own person safely and grow into whatever they're supposed to be without any shame, without any, you know, fear from outside influences to be who they want to be. Excuse me. To be who they want to be. So that was a very hard conversation to have. It was very weird because, like I said, I was just changing his boy diaper in my mind. And now he's in high school, into girls, you know, trying to start his own business. And I'm just there to, you know, to give advice or be the example. And as a parent, we got to know when to give advice versus when to actually, you know, step in and take over, you know, the car per se, to be the example. And I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning how to fall back with him and just give him advice and see what he does with it. So, you know, his first week went good. I see him in there on his computer. I hear him, you know, interacting. Excuse me, I hear him interacting with the other kids. We still, like I said, it's the first week. We'll see. I gave him all the advice that I could think of when he asked for it. I didn't give him anything else other than what he asked for, because I want him to be able to decipher the things that he feels like he needs help with and things that, you know, he just want to talk about. Sometimes he just comes and sit on a bed and start randomly talking about stuff. And knowing when to shut up as the parent is hard, because sometimes your kid just talks, not for you to respond. They just need to work it out, and they need somebody to work it out with, without necessarily receiving a response, if that makes sense. I'm that way too, to be honest. I've been that way for a while, where sometimes I don't need you to say nothing. I just need you in my presence. And then as I'm saying it out loud, I'm working it out, and that's how my son is. So just knowing when to give advice versus when to be the example is what I'm working on within myself with all of my kids. Within that, I was telling him, you know, I almost didn't graduate, feeling like I had to impress girls and stuff and kicking it with my friends and, you know, ditching and smoking and all, like, just doing all kind of stuff thinking that it was cool. And I literally, the last day that we had to have everything in grade-wise to graduate, I literally had to take one of my finals over. And at the time, I was very good at math and just being lax, just boom, 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 and didn't pass the final. And luckily, I was able to retake it that day. I'll never forget Carlos. I'm saying Carlos like y'all know Carlos. Carlos is like, man, I heard you're not graduating. I'm like, what? I ain't hear that. And the next thing you know, I get a call to go to the office. My mom on the phone like, yo, they said you're not graduating, yada, yada. And I'm like, for what, though? I'm confused. Long story short, I handled my business. I went there. I wasn't playing because, like, I could not graduate. I went there, retook the final, boom, everything got situated that day. Called my mom, like, nah, you know, everything is fixed. I stopped playing. I went in there. They allowed me to do it. Boom, retook the final, everything good. And that was almost a devastating thing for me. That was almost like, and I've carried that with me for 20 years. I've carried that with me to this day. It's like, that's why I tell them, don't be too cool to get a tutor. Don't be too cool to do your work. Don't be too cool to pay attention in class. Don't be too cool to tell your friends, get up out of here. Because at the end of the day, to get any type of job, you know, to, unless you're an entrepreneur out the gate, to get any type of job, you gotta have education, some form of education, which, you know, in my opinion, I feel like things should be treated like a trade school. You should get hired for skill, not necessarily for books. But that's neither here nor there. But in that, I tell them, I hold that with me because I'm not, like, I hold that with me to encourage them. I'm not a person who dwells on failures per se, because my journey is already written. My failures, my successes, my goods, my bads, you know, my pain, my love, it's already written. I just have to get there, and I just have to, you know, to walk the steps. I have to make the decision that's gonna get me to point A, to point B, and then all points in between. So I don't really dwell on things that I quote unquote failed. I look at that as lessons. I figure out, like, dang, this situation could have went better if I made this decision, or this situation could have went better if I said this or didn't say that. As it pertains to me, you know, like, if my failure has hurt someone, then of course, you know, that's something that bothers me. But I'm solely, you know, at this right now, I'm solely talking about things that affect solely me. It's like, I don't dwell on that. Like, if something goes bad or something goes wrong, I'll write it down. Whether it's a bad relationship, a bad friendship, bad business, bad thing happened at work, I'll write it down and really try to, like, figure out what the lesson is. Like, really, why did you just go through that particular thing? And I encourage other people to do the same, because we'll stumble a little bit and we'll make a freaking mountain out of that quote unquote failure for nothing. It's a whole lesson in there. It's a whole lesson in failure that sometimes people don't get, because human beings are so emotional. We're so emotionally driven. We're so, how can I say this? We care so much about people seeing our failures. We're so ashamed of the failures, not realizing the failures is what make you. Like, there's no perfection without pain. Even though that we all know there's no such thing as perfection, but even in striving for perfection, I always say there's no perfection without pain. If it don't hurt, if it don't hurt, meaning if it's not a trial, a tribulation, like, you're gonna stay in that same space. Unfortunately, everything comes with a pressure point for you to move to the next level. Even good. Even when something is going so good, it comes with a level of pressure that moves you to the next level. So it's important not to dwell on the failure, quote unquote, failure itself, but the lesson in that failure. What could you have done different? What could you have said different? How could you have reacted different to make a better outcome of that situation? Like, I'll give you guys an example. The other day at work, we're on a meeting, and I'm very, when it comes to meetings, if I'm not presenting or leading the meetings, then I don't say nothing. They'll ask you, have comments, you have questions, yada, yada, whatever. And typically I don't really say nothing because I'm thinking ahead because I know if I say this person gonna say that, it's gonna turn, you know, something that's supposed to be 30 minutes to an hour to something that's an hour and a half. So the other day at work, I'm sitting there and, you know, my super said, hey, does anybody have any question, comments, yada, yada? And I was like, hey, I'm finding this. I'm coming across this situation. I just ask that you guys correct it because, one, it's creating more work for me. And also it's creating more work for them, essentially, is what I was getting at. I didn't say anybody's name. I didn't point out a specific item that was wrong. I said it as a general statement. And someone had said my name. And, you know, oh, well, everybody's human. And I was like, okay, cool. But it was just the tone in which she said it. Now, had I not been going through what I was going through emotionally, like I said, during the mental check, had I not been going through that, I would have been able to just be like, all right, man, whatever. It is what it is. First time I didn't say nothing, and then she kept talking, and then boom, I said something. Now, the thing is I am a lead, right? Not a supervisor, I'm a lead. I shouldn't have responded that way because technically, you report to me. I'm your line of defense between you and the supervisor. Just like my supervisor, it is the cushion between me and the manager. And so normally I wouldn't even say anything in that type of situation, but I was going through mentally what I was going through, and immediately I felt attacked. And I'm very big on, when it comes to work, as long as it's professional, I won't say anything. But if you attack my character and I know it's a lie, then I'm going to defend myself. And I defended myself, but in hindsight, I'm like, man, I shouldn't have responded like that. Because it was a group setting. And now as a lead, I look emotional. I look like I can't take criticism, or I can't handle myself in conversation without being defensive. And I was being defensive, not on the work part. I was being defensive because it was being presented like I was a bully. And I'm the most gentle, loving, goofy person. Like, once you get to know me, I'm an introvert. It is what it is. But if you're in my group of my safe people, like, you, people know I'm not a bully. Now, I'm a fighter in defense, but I'm not a, I don't start stuff. So, in hindsight, the lesson is composure. That, because I look at that as a failure. I look at my response as a failure because I let somebody get me in a space where I'm not arguing with people. I don't argue with people. I'll not talk. There's people who have started an argument with me and I haven't talked to in years because I'm not going to argue with you. Anything that changes my frequency, I'm just not going to do it. So in that failure, I could sit there and I could, like, because it's a failure to me. I could sit there and be frustrated, like, oh my God, and blah, 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 and then not talk to anybody at work or not respond to emails, you know, to the team and stuff like that. But the lesson is, all right, Don't let them move you off your square. As long as you have a paper trail to back up what you're saying, it doesn't matter what nobody says about you. It doesn't matter if they raise their voice. It doesn't matter. Whatever, that's them. I always talk about being who I say that I am. And with that, with that for me is keeping my emotions under control regardless. Like I said before, I love who I love because I love me. I don't dislike nobody, but if you've messed with my frequency, you gotta go. So the failure for me was the way that I responded. So now, boom, the lesson is, hey, as long as you have a track record and being professional, no need to respond. So now if I'm put in that situation again, like I failed that test. So I'm 100% certain that's going to come again, that situation, that type of situation, whether it be at work, whether it be within my group of friends, whether it be within my family. A situation like that is going to occur again, but I'm going to be prepared this time, because instead of getting down on myself and I can't believe you reacted that way and, you know, you sounded like this or that, because I'm very hard on myself. But instead of doing that, I said the lesson is dot your I's and cross your T's, so that you can just let whoever is saying whatever get out whatever they need to get out, and you can just say, okay, fine, that's cool. And you have information that you can either give to your supervisor, or you have facts, or what the youngins say, you have receipts that you can say, okay, no, this is where you're wrong at. This is where, you know, you're speaking assumptions, but I have facts right here. So it's very important not to dwell on the failures or things that you consider failures, but get the lesson. It's frustrating because you got to call yourself out. And again, it falls back on what I always talk about, self-accountability. You have to, in order for you not to dwell on failures, you have to have a very high sense of a self-accountability. You have to be willing to let yourself, like, you have to be willing to be honest with yourself that, like, yo, that was whack. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have reacted that way. But you have to get to a point of peace to be able to live through the failure. And I'm not saying just be being a shady person, a mean person, and deliver it as if you learning. Like, I'm saying that when you're going through your natural life and things are going on and you're naturally, you know, have a situation where you feel like you failed, all I'm saying is don't be so hard on yourself. Hold yourself accountable, but then you sit down and you say, how can I handle this next time? Nobody should have to tell you, as an adult, male or female, whatever, it doesn't matter. As an adult, no one should be able to check you before you can check yourself. I know it's really hard because we all have ego, but if you're centered and you have a good place of peace, you'll be able to check yourself before anybody. I'm glad that I've went through what I went through to when I'm wrong, I'm able to sit down and be like, damn, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have made that move. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm able to apologize. Because for me, like, I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't care what you've done to me. I don't care what you, like, it's funny because I just have two things. As long as you've never tried to kill me or my kids, everything else is an understanding. Because at the end of the day, I've experienced death. Losing my daughter so abruptly, I don't have time for nothing. I've experienced, besides death myself, I have experienced the worst thing that a person can experience. So I'm able to hold myself accountable. I'm able to, you know, forgive very easily now, because at the end of the day, did you die? Like, what was whatever you said? Did it kill me? Was it to kill me? Whether it's physically or emotional? No. All right, cool. I accept your apology. Am I going to fool with you? Possibly not after that. But maybe because I'm a forgiver. You know, and if it's a genuine mistake or if it's a genuine thing that you're just like, you know what? I really messed up, or, you know, you hold yourself accountable and there's change. There's just like when I'm going through certain things, if I see that I've treated you a certain way, I'm going to be able to check myself before you even tell me like, well, you treated me like this or you treat me like this. And that's what I love about the journey that I'm on, to just search for peace within myself. I want to be who I say that I am. And when I mean that from the bottom of my heart, meaning I want to be at peace. Like, just because I'm going through depression, I have all this anxiety, that don't mean I have to be a asshole to people. That don't mean I have to be rude. That don't mean I have to treat people, you know, that doesn't mean I treat people bad. I'm going through what I'm going through, and a lot of people may not understand it. I'll never be the same again from losing a child. I'll never be the same again. Every day is a fight. That's a failure to me. That's a failure to me. But for me as a parent, I sit down and I'm living through it. I'm learning different things. I'm learning what, you know, what stillborn means. I'm learning what causes it. I'm learning if there is even a cause for it, or what. I'm studying it, trying to figure it out, trying to be there, you know, looking for grieving groups, looking for, you know, just people. Just to understand, that's as a parent, because I pride myself in protection, and that's something, I'm not God and I'm not a scientist, so that was something that I couldn't protect, and I get it. But for me, it's like, dang, but I don't dwell on it. It's like, all right, she's gone, she's not coming back. So I'm living through what I consider a failure, but I'm making sure that everything is good. I'm making sure that, you know, I'm fighting through the depression. I'm making sure that, you know, I'm not taking the anger out on the kids. I'm making sure that I'm not taking the anger out or the frustrations out on, you know, my coworkers and stuff like that. Like, I come here to the pod and I tell y'all, because this is my safe space, and I want to make sure that we all are aware that somebody is going through something around you. And I've learned through this process that everybody doesn't understand how it really works, and everybody doesn't care. And I'm saying that peacefully. Not everybody doesn't care because it's not their business, but it's so much that goes on in people's day that it just, they don't care. They don't understand. And then for me, it's one of those things that, the reason why I'm able to live and learn through the failure in my eyes of losing my child, or not being able to protect my child to be alive, the thing that I'm learning is that people who don't, or the thing that's allowing me to live through, is that if you haven't experienced this, you don't even know how to respond. Like, you don't even, like think about it. If you've never lost a child, if you've never lost a child or never lost anyone or haven't dealt with death, you don't know how to respond. What do you say? How do you get it across that you care? Excuse me. How do you get it across? It's difficult. But it doesn't mean, like, I've learned that you don't care because you don't know how to care, not because you don't genuinely care. It's very hard when you don't understand it. So for me, it's learning that's part of me learning through a failure. I know it's not like, I know people are going to hear this pod and be like, how is that a failure on you? It's just, my mind is wired really weird. I'm very big on protection. I know, like, in the front of my mind, I know, but in my subconscious, in just sitting, I feel like it's my fault. I feel like, dang, you wasn't there to be a protector. You wasn't there to do your part. You wasn't there to, you know, talk to the doctors and see this and see that. Because that's just who I am. But understanding that people don't understand it if they ever, never went through it is what allows me to live through the failure. So I know that was a very, I know that seemed like loop-de-loop, but that's just how it processes in my mind. That's how I process it in my mind. Like, that's my biggest failure, is not being able to protect my child. Even though I know I couldn't, I know I sound crazy, I'm not. But living through that, being able to encourage people that are going to experience. I'm not the first person that experienced. I'm not the first father that experienced it. I won't be the last. But the thing is, I want to make sure that we are able to stay sane and fight through the depression and fight through everything that comes with it. Because like I spoke on before, a lot of times we only care about the woman. We don't realize, like, oh shit, the man feels like a failure too. Like, not only do you go through the carrying of the kid, and then you lose the kid, so my mind goes, damn, I'm not even able to protect you, the person who's carrying a kid, and I'm not able to protect the kid. And it's so when you know society is only looking at that, and even with that, I have to learn how to live. I can't dwell on that, because that is a societal failure where men are not included in the caring of when stillborns happen, or when you lose kids, or any type of thing like that. It's like men are supposed to be tough, and we are not. Just like I hate when I hear the whole, you know, black women strong thing, or come on king, be strong, or no. Everybody has weaknesses, and you can't keep on making it a you're strong and, oh, well, you're the strong friend and I do this because of this. I don't check on you because you're always so strong. No, you can't do that. That's part of, for me, that's why I'm able to live through it, because I see all of that and I see my failures, and I refuse to not learn through all of it. I refuse to just be the strong person. I refuse to, you know, let my people around me just be strong people. So I, you know, I advise them, or I open up a space for people to be vulnerable, because I'm vulnerable. So I'm living through it every day. I'm living through, you know, multiple failures, you know, not going to college, my marriage not working out, me losing my baby, you know, not really being where I want to be in poetry, not being where I want to be in my entrepreneurship. Like, these are all things that go through my mind. Being a single dad, like, that was the most difficult time. That was the most difficult thing for me that I have ever experienced. Being a single dad, because typically, we all know, you know, the kids go with the mom. Like, my daughter lives with her mom. My sons have lived with me ever since the breakup. Like, my sons have, they have been with me through everything. And that is the most, but for me, that's a failure. Because I'm raising these kids, and these kids need to see me loving somebody. They need to see somebody loving me, because I had a very difficult, example of relationships very early on. Like, I had to really learn how to operate and maneuver through relationships myself. So I have to live through that, and I have to learn. But with that, I don't bring anybody around my kids. And that's something that I pride myself in being able to do. I don't bring nobody around my kids. They don't know me for dating this person, dating that person, dating this person, auntie such and such, auntie. No, they know I'd rather be by myself and take care of them and make sure they get to a certain point before I even start dating in general, before I even start doing things in general. But I don't bring nobody around them, because for me, I'm already living and learning through the failure of a failed marriage. So for me, it's like, no, I'm not dwelling on it, but I'm just learning how to be the doctor, be the nurse, be the cook, be the chauffeur, be the tutor, be the barber, be the tailorer, be the chef. Like, a lot of people in my position would crumble. I've been going through heart issues, lung issues. I got a muscle disorder, but nobody would know that because I keep it pushing. These kids are the most important thing to me. So I had to learn to live with that failure and not live with it, but learn and live through it so that these kids could have the best me that they could have. So, you know, for a few years, I was working 12 hours a day of Monday through Friday, then pulling like a 5 to 8 hour shift on Saturdays, taking them for a fun day on Sundays, repeating that, cutting hair, sewing clothes, starting dreadlocks, all, like just everything. Just, but for me, that's just who I am. I'm not going to sit and dwell on the failure. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to say, dang, why? Or whatever. I'm going to cry about it. I'm going to do all the things that we do as humans. But the difference is I'm going to take notes on what I have to do now. Like, what's going to get me to the next step? What's going to allow me to continue to teach these kids, continue to grow myself in peace? And what I've come up with is just looking for the lesson in that. Why did that relationship break down? What could I have said different to her? What could she have said different to me? How could we have handled it better with any of my relationships? So it's very important that you guys understand failures are going to come. That's the name of the game. A lot of times you'll have way more failures than success in whatever period of time. The key is to get to that success. It might take 10 failures and you to take down notes and learn 10 lessons before you get to that next thing, before you get to that next step. So when you are moving and maneuvering through your journey and you come up on a roadblock, a trial, or a tribulation, acknowledge it. If you have to cry, cry. If you have to scream, scream. Like, let it out, let it flow, let it do whatever it's going to do, but learn from it. Don't just sit there and let it sit on your heart and sit on your mind and allow you to deteriorate. If the depression sets in, you got to try to fight it. I know it's easier said than done, but trust me, I'm here with you guys trying to fight this thing every day. This depression and anxiety, it is a crazy, crazy thing. It has your mind going crazy, just thinking about this and thinking about that and blaming yourself, but you have to keep fighting. You have to be able to learn how to ignore both positive and negative, because the negative will have you in a mental space of anger. It'll have you ready to fight. It'll have you thinking suicidal thoughts. It'll have you wanting to hurt this. And it'll have you just broke down, sad, in the dark. And you don't need that. So you have to learn how to say, you know what, that's not for me. Whatever's being said about you, whatever's being said to you that's negative, whatever you're coming across, like for me, I don't watch a bunch of TV. Like live TV, I refuse to, because there's so much stuff on there that is easily that can easily be implanted in your mind, and then it plants those negative seeds for later. And while you're sleeping, while you're resting, while you're relaxing, all that stuff starts going into your mind. So I don't watch regular TV. I choose to watch what I like. I have mass subscription system because I only watch a certain type of show or whatever, things that I could logically break down and say, okay, I know that this is fake, because I don't want to be dealing with all the negative stuff. Because again, fighting this depression, I am easily saddened by what I see. I'm easily saddened by what I see. And I'm telling you guys so that you can understand you're not alone. Find someone that you can talk to. Find someone who believes in you and who can help you, you know, keep getting better and keep getting better so that you don't have to sit by yourself. But also, positivity at the wrong time could create a negative effect. So be careful about that, because you could be pushed, you know, somebody could, you know, under the guise of I'm being positive, someone can push you to a level of something that you're not prepared for. Someone can put, like, when you're going through certain things, sometimes you're, not that you need the negative, but sometimes you need to sit where you're at so that you can continue to learn from the lesson. Somebody's positivity at the wrong time could encourage you to do something that you wasn't prepared to do. And in turn, it's going to create negativity on top of what you, or it's going to compound negativity on what you're already going through. So you have to learn how to be able to block all of that out. You have to be very certain and very clear on what you are allowing into your spirit, into your mind, into your soul, because it's your fight. It's your fight. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, I came in this world and I'm gonna go out by myself, but they say that in a selfish manner. But the reality of that is, it's true. So you have to be able to be on this journey, good or bad, and you have to be able to be the leader of your journey. You have to be able to, no matter what people are saying, no matter what you are seeing, no matter what you are hearing, you have to say to yourself, no matter what, every day that I wake up, I'm going to fight to get better. Every time there's a failure in my life, I'm going to take that failure. I'm going to take notes on it. I'm going to learn to live through it so I can reach the next level, which is a success step. And then you take it little by little. A lot of times we go for the big thing. I've learned what I'm going through right now is baby steps. It's baby steps. Because I can advance too soon, and that could turn into something negative, and now it's extra because I should have just stayed still. It's not your fault. Understand that. It's not your fault. Unless you're just a douchebag, butthead, it's not your fault. Don't allow people to sit their fault on you. Don't accept their fault. Hold yourself accountable. And that's it. Don't allow anybody to change your frequency. Don't allow anybody to tell you you are who you are not. Believe in who you are. It's one thing that I have learned on this journey is it's not my fault. I don't control what I don't control, but what I do control, I handle, I hold myself accountable. I am me. We got this. I want to end this with telling you all, as usual, I love you guys. Stay up. Hit me up on Instagram, Poetic Properties Podcast, on Twitter, Poetic Properties. Subscribe to the YouTube page, listen to the albums, get the book from Amazon, Pieces of Me, you know, support where you can. And just know, Black Lives Matter. I love you all. Leave a comment, reshare, tweet, whatever, tweet, do whatever you do. You guys have a blessed and lovely weekend. I'll see you next week.
Utopia. As I sit here trying to create this ambiance of metaphoric utopia, I feel as if I'm not flourishing. Unable to shine like the sun behind the shadow of a solar eclipse. Unable to breathe like the wind in autumn, blinded, distracted by this optical illusion, gasping for life like a fish out of hydrogen oxide. Too afraid to flee for darkness, but on the other hand, too brave to speak so heartless. We are all pieces of canvases surrounded by an artist. Honestly, each day the sun replaces its companion, we are left with the blemish, never diminishing in value. And as the world makes its complete rotation, we become a day wiser. Our beauty becomes more defined, and as we age, so does our surroundings. We are changing, intelligence inclining, increasing opportunity to breathe. We are a world full of pressure cookers, prematurely exploding before our time, not knowing that having no patience makes happiness irrelevant. And easy anger represses a generation. Clench closed with the strength of an embrace from your mother. Face flows like Niagara, pain piercing already decayed flesh. Minds in a state of mental paralysis, unclear like fog invading our personal space. Shutting down mainframes, invading our peace, evading our war, declining participation, robbing us of our definition of being. Disguised as laughter, intolerable ignorance flooding areas of greatness, burning mouths of knowledge, building dams to block our hearts. Shamefully, trust has been unwanted as death. We confide in convenience. We are content with all right, afraid to succeed and terrified to be a boulder in a field full of pebbles, infectiously detoured with foolery. We have become slightly moronic and barbaric to wisdom. Clueless to a daily basis, repetitively not speaking out of turn, we are incarcerated by our own freedom, fighting for nothing, falling for everything, speaking out of precedence, hearing but not listening, vision impaired, stifled with pride, seeing obstacles, and instead of walking through them, we run around them expeditiously. Stuck believing in nothing, we are embarrassed to dream, so we stay awake, subconsciously condoning failure. Our aggression is misapplied in the eyes of many. Our journey is minute, less than a nestle from a grain of sand. So we as people promote guidance by discomforting progression, while we fight to stay alive like a rose showing growth through the crack of concrete, frantically panting for decisions, living for reflections instead of stepping outside of the quotation marks, pausing like commas, and getting to the point, period. We are enlightened by imagination, willing to hold on to 9 bad memories if the 10th promises to relieve us. We are easily deceived by reality. The grass is greener. Just unhinge your fence, walk out, and focus your pupils. Because being popular does not make you a leader. You are not a follower for wanting to better yourself. We accept mediocrity because our common sense has been amputated by the heat of the moment. Healed by creating a nonchalant aura around us, deflecting our passion, walking rampant, playing primitive to values. I need a change is my first resolution. This metaphoric utopia is harsh and unkind, capable of lightening your brightness with skills to darken your contrast, contradicting your complexion. This is the art of war, subdued, crushed in a nutshell, lonely and daring, requesting an entourage of sophisticates, breathing through clarity, needing an exit strategy for emergency purposes, and causing a diversion that is so clever that you don't even know that it's over.